All right. Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And the number one way to discern the body of Christ is to actually take this bread and look at it and identify the different parts of different things that happened to Jesus in his passion. The number one thing we need to notice is this bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And we know that Jesus' body is and was 100% without sin. He never made a mistake. And you'll notice that this bread has been beaten and pounded flat. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beaten and bruised for us. You'll also notice that there are stripes in this bread. The Bible tells us that it was by his stripes we were healed. And you'll notice that this bread has been pierced. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And everywhere he shed blood, we get redemption in some area for it. Also, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus is so perfectly pure. There's no sin in the blood of Jesus. That's why his blood never died. His blood is still doing what God sent it to do all those many years ago. The blood of Jesus is our salvation. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that our sins are washed away. And that blood of Jesus is continually washing our sins away, according to 1 John 1:7. And it's because of this blood of Jesus that we have boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Happy Mother's Day. Can I have somebody pass out? And I need one more volunteer to hand out roses. One interesting thing is I've through the years I've been able to identify different anointings. And I've seen people walk through crowds, and I'd see them, and I'd say, "Where are you a pastor at?" They'd look at me like, "How did you know?" You know, and I'd say, "Well, there's an anointing." And there's also an anointing on being a mother. And one time we were at a wedding, and there was a couple sitting by us, and they hadn't said anything to anybody. And I just kind of nonchalantly looked over at this lady, and I said, "When are you going to have that baby?" And she looked at me. I thought she was going to slap her husband in the back of the head. She said, "We haven't told anybody." I said, "Well, you're going to have a baby." She said, "Yeah, we are. How did you know?" "Yeah, don't worry about it." You know, I've noticed when women are going to have a baby, there's a special glow they have. That's an anointing. That's an anointing to be a mother. And it doesn't show up on anybody else. It shows up on moms. It's a special glow. Open your Bibles up to Psalms chapter 107. And we're going to talk, you know, one of the things when Jesus was on that cross, he said, "It is finished." And one of the things that he secured for us was bodily healing for all on this earth. There's some confusion. You know, people are holding on to this idea that they're going to be healed when they get to heaven. Well, you are. You're going to be in a different state. You know, there's no sickness in heaven. You know, you're not even going to have gray hair. And you're going to have all your hair. You know. So that's good news. But there's not going to be any signs of aging. Aging is just part of the curse. But we need healing down here on this earth. And Jesus paid for that. See, any healing you're going to get, you're going to have to get it down here on this earth. This is where we need it. You know, you're not going to be sick in heaven. You're not going to be crippled in heaven. There's not going to be anything wrong in heaven. It's right here now when we need healing. We need it right here. Look at Psalms chapter 107, verse 20. It tells us, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." See, it's God's word. You know, there's people that can receive healing, even miracles, without anybody praying for them. They can receive healing and miracles without anybody laying hands on them. They can receive healing and miracles without getting anointed with oil. You know, there's people that can receive healing and miracles while they're out in the middle of nowhere. Not even close to a church. Because He sent His word. So if we take His word in and believe His word, then we can receive the benefits that He had for us. That's great. You know, there's a lot of people that are always waiting for some famous evangelist or minister, somebody's going to come from across the country or, you know, some other place, and they're going to come to this town near you, city near you. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Get your tickets now. And they're going to have meetings there. And they've been waiting, some of them wait for years to get where they can have this preacher lay hands on them and pray for them. You know, you don't have to do that. Yes, this idea that they have access to an anointing that you don't have access to is false. See, we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's the very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life. You know, the anointing was one of the things that I really was curious about, and I really wanted to know about it. And I'd read books about the anointing, and I'd see some famous preacher, and I'd ask somebody about that guy, and they'd say, yeah, he's got a special anointing. I thought, how do I get that anointing? And then I'd see another one, and I'd ask him about him. I was, oh, he's got a special anointing. And I'd say, man, can we do that? No, you got to have that special anointing. And I was struggling. I really wanted to know how this happened. And I got ringworm on my arm, and I had to go pay this dollar. This is how I learned really about the anointing. This is a really religious word to me. I went to the doctor. He charged me $50 to go down to get a prescription for a $5 tube of salve. And I was reading this, the directions on this salve, and it said, anoint the affected area. And I'm sitting there thinking, that's a pretty religious word for a ringworm. And then I learned that anointing is something that is rubbed on you, smeared over you, poured over you. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, He anoints you with the Holy Ghost and power. That's when it sunk in. The very same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus back to life is the very same Holy Spirit that came upon you and anointed you and endued you with power. So you don't have to wait for that famous evangelist to come to the city near you. It's His Word that heals you. I want you to notice something in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then go to verse 14, and it tells us, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word become flesh. And He dwelt among us. God sent His Word, and He healed them. When we believe on Jesus, see, this is the thing. A lot of times, we start seeking some special thing that we need. Maybe we need finances, or we need healing, or we need a miracle, or we need whatever it is we may need. And we get focused on that when we're really supposed to focus on Jesus, because everything we need is wrapped up in Him. When we focus on Him, especially in the things that He did for us in His passion, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, and as a high priest, when we look at those things that He did by grace, guess what's going to happen? We're learning of Him, and more of Him is going to happen to us. See, the more you learn of Jesus, and that's what He told us to do. He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. He didn't say anything about learning about the anointing. He didn't say anything about learning about healing. He didn't say anything about learning about finances. He didn't say anything about learning about miracles. He said, learn of Me. All of that is wrapped up in Him. So when you focus on Him and you learn of Him, you're going to be seeing His grace every step of the way. And guess what's going to happen? Faith is going to happen in your heart. And then all these things are going to be added unto you. Remember, He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, the kingdom of God, we found out, is love, joy, peace, and the Holy Spirit. You know, when you focus on the grace of God and you look at the things that Jesus did for you, you can't help but have love, joy, and peace happen in your heart. And then understand that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. There's not one thing that you could do to earn that. The Bible tells us clearly that you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And righteousness is not right doing, it's right standing. It's because of what Jesus did for you on that cross. See, there was a lot of things wrong between us and God before we got born again. Won't you agree? I mean, we really deserved the cross. That's what we deserved. And a lot of people running around saying they want to get what they deserve. You better stop saying that. You don't want what you deserve. You want what Jesus deserved. See, He swapped places with us. He took what we deserved so that we could have what He deserved. Amen. So we've been put into right standing with God. Now we know that if we focus on Jesus and what He did, we're going to have love, joy, and peace happen in our hearts. Great faith will happen when you focus on that. Well, we're going to focus on bodily healing just for a little bit. Let's look over to Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, says that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Jesus did that. When He was on the cross, He took every sickness and every disease on Him. And actually, He paid for our healing before He even got to the cross, because the Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. So He had to go get scourged. And our sin, our healing was paid for before our sins were. Interesting thing. In the Old Testament, there's types and shadows of Jesus. All over in the Old Testament. One time the children of Israel were out in the desert and they got in trouble, and a bunch of them got bit by serpents. And God told Moses to make a serpent out of bronze. See, bronze is significant as sin in the Bible. And He said, put that serpent's head on a pole and raise it up. The children that look at that bronze serpent will be healed. Now, they weren't just looking at a serpent. What they were doing, well, they were looking at their sins and their sicknesses judged on that cross. And they got healed. Look to the cross. See Jesus on that cross. See Him bearing your sicknesses, your diseases, your poverty, whatever it is you may be having. See Him with it on that cross. And don't stop there. See Him resurrected. And at the right hand of the Lord God Himself, making intercession as our high priest, making intercession for us. The Bible tells us that He lives to make intercession for us. He's always making intercession for us. Our Lord King Jesus. See, an interesting thing about the children of Israel, they were focused on the King coming back. And they even asked Jesus, are You going to restore the kingdom? They wanted their power back. They missed out on their power back because they refused to look at the Lamb. They missed out on the Lamb of God because they were focused on the King. And now today we have a church running around that is so focused on the Lamb of God, they're missing out on the King. That's why we have a church that's not ruling and reigning on this earth. Because a lot of them are focused on the sweet baby Jesus, not on the King. And He made you a king and a priest. The Bible tells us that He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. You're a little lord, you're a little king, you're a priest. Let's move on here to chapter 13, verse 15.
While we're still there.
Huh?
I said, while we're still there, I use the National American Standard.
Uh-huh. Yeah, He took our diseases. Yeah, He took them away. They're gone. Chapter 13, verse 15 says, "For His people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their hearts and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." See, there's a lot of people with a veil. There's actually a veil over their face. This is why, you know, sometimes you'll witness to somebody about Jesus, and it's almost like the word just bounce off their forehead and come right back to you. And there's a veil over them. You know, sometimes you may have to pray for somebody for them to receive the word. You know, right there, He's talking about that veil. They can't see, they can't hear. Their hearts are closed. You know, actually, I was at work one day and I talked to a little guy, I witnessed to him, and I said, "Do you want to get born again?" He said, "Yeah, I want to get born again." And every time I try to say that prayer, my tongue just stops and I can't say something. I said, "Well, would you give me permission to speak into your life and get rid of that demon so that you can be loosed, so you can get born again?" He said, "Yeah." So I cast that demon out of him, and he got born again on the spot, and then he got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So he was upstairs sitting on a bucket laughing and doing his thing. My boss come walking in, and he heard that laugh, and he said, "What's going on?" And he looked at me and said, "Oh." So what happened? Well, I told him, go to church. What happened was the pastor got a turnkey Christian. That's your job, to make turnkey Christians. See, there's a lot of people that think they got to take somebody to the pastor to get them born again, get them baptized, maybe they can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's not true. Believer, that's the job of believers. See, Jesus, He's the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. He administers that. We may pray for people and lead them in that way, but He's the one that does that. Believers baptize, water baptize people. You know, we got this thing. There's been a really big tradition about having baptismal certificates. You know, there was a thing, you know, baptismal certificates for a long time. And that led people to the idea that you had to have a pastor, some kind of an ordained minister to baptize people. And that's not true. You can go out there and witness to somebody out in the pasture, get them born again, go to the nearest stock tank, get them dunked, help them receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, bring them to church, say, "Here, feed him." You can do that. We got to take the religion out of Christianity. We got to get the religion out of Christianity, get believers out there being believers. It's not just the pastor's job. It's believers doing that. Going out there, witnessing to people, getting people born again, praying for people, laying hands on the sick. You can anoint them with oil. You can do all the things that a pastor can do. I'm serious. I was in the same trial. I was at a church one day, and this lady come walking up with this other lady, and she said she needs to be born again. I said, well, let's go get the pastor. She said, you do it. This girl was only about this tall. She stuck her finger in my chest and said, you do it. Oh, okay. So, lady got born again. Right in church. And it wasn't even the pastor doing it. You know, you don't even have to have a pastor involved. You don't even have to have another person involved. You know, a guy could be out in the middle of nowhere reading the Bible. He could stumble across those scriptures that says if you believe that God raised Jesus back to life and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Lord, you shall be saved. You know, he could do that by himself. He could sit right there and say, you know, I believe God raised Jesus back to life. I confess that Jesus is Lord. He's born again right there. That's not very religious, though, is it? Praise God. Jesus made it easy for us. Religion makes it hard for us. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Verse 4. Surely he has been healed. He wants us to live happy, joyous, and free. He wants us to live free. He wants us to stand in the liberty that Christ has given us. Don't be shackled. Do not be shackled with these religious ideas that maybe God might want you to be sick to treat you a lesson. Don't fall for that. Jesus healed everybody that came to him in faith. Here's something really cool about this. One time Benny Hinn was preaching. You know, he hadn't even started preaching yet. They were still doing the praise and worship. And this lady come up, and she was crying. And she come up to him, and she said, God healed me. And Benny said, well, praise God. She said, but I'm a Muslim. He said, praise God, Jesus loves you too. Oh, how can he do that? Did you know that Jesus healed a lot of scoundrels? True. None of those folks were born again. So this idea that you have to be born again before you can be healed is false. In fact, I dare say that when somebody gets healed, they're going to be more in tune to getting born again. And the Bible tells us it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Amen. Let's look one more place and we'll stop. James chapter 5, verse 14. See, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess you your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right there. that anointing with oil makes a lot of Word of Faith preachers crazy. They say, no, they need to receive it. But you don't have to anoint them with oil. They should receive it by faith. Well, the Bible just tells us to anoint them with oil. You know, one thing about the world, the people of the world, they're not led by the Holy Spirit. They're led by their five natural senses, what they can see, taste, touch, smell, hear. And then somehow, people got this idea, when a man gets born again, you know, they are supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's the Bible. As many as that are made the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. But do you know that it takes some schooling and some time? We have to take some time to learn from Jesus so we can learn how to be led by the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of people, born-again people, that are kind of in this little land of limbo. And they're still relying on their five natural senses. I learned this with people. When I take oil, they could see that. And they could smell it. And they could feel it. And they get their believer activated, and these people would get healed. And it just make these Word of Faith preachers nuts. I'd say, I don't care. They got healed. Why are you so crazy about the delivery? They got healed. Isn't that what we were going for? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. You sent your word and it healed us. And we call him Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for everything that he does for us. He heals us. He teaches us. He protects us. He watches over us. He prays for us. Father, we thank you for everything that our high priest did for us in his death, burial, and his resurrection. For the great price that he paid for us. The price that should have fell on us. But he took it for us. And now, because he did that, we can stand in your blessings. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah.